We're continuing our series today in talking about marriage. We're looking at marriage builders. Now, I want to take you to a scene. Husband and wife they're shipwrecked. They're in a little dinghy. They're out in the middle of the ocean. They've got 5 gallons of water, enough food for a week, and flares. But the raft is starting to sink. And they know that the raft will not hold the weight of what is in the raft. You got to throw something overboard. Are you there with me? Are you ahead of me? What or who are you going to throw overboard? Now, everybody that's been married, presently is married, has thought about being married, has thought about some of the challenges of marriage. And maybe today we need to fan the flame just a little bit for all of us. Now, if you go on to the next slide there. The wedding is the event. The marriage is for a lifetime. And in fact, you'll spend a whole lifetime just trying to get to know one another. You know, God knew that we would need that challenge and spend the rest of our lives doing that. So, as we think about the process of marriage, I want to zero in on one verse of Scripture as we begin. And it's found in Genesis chapter 2, and it goes like this in verse 24. Therefore, shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Now, we've quoted that verse many, many times, haven't we? Let's look at each part of that verse as we begin here today. The first word we're going to zero in on is the word leave. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Now, what happens when you don't leave mom and daddy? Well, it's rough. God designed a period of life when we would be under the wing of our parents. But you know, there comes a point in time when even the mother eagle does what? Bam! I mean, she gives them the old heave-ho. Now, I want you to know that I come from a family where that got started early. I started getting luggage when I was in 10th grade. My mom hates that. Thank you, Daniel. That time of growing up and that time of leaving, of getting away and transitioning into a new life. I remember when I left the home that I grew up in, and Audrey and I got married. I was never out anywhere else before we got married. She wasn't either. I was 21. She was 18. Thank you, Daniel. And here's both of us. Here we are. We're living 1,100 miles away from home. Away from what was our home, making a new home. And all of these things that just had magically happened in our lives, like laundry, like food. And here's another one. garbage somehow left the house. All these magical things that happened, and suddenly they're on your doorstep. So there's a lot of wisdom in this verse, in this process of marriage. First of all, we've got to leave parents. Secondly, Scripture says, cleave unto your wife. That means to stick like glue. That means a oneness together. Now hear me on this. This is where our culture's got it all wrong. It is a conscious choice of the will. Therein lies the marriage ceremony where we stand up before God and everybody and we make these pronouncements in His presence and in the presence of witnesses, and we promise certain things. We are choosing. Now, a lot of people in our culture, a lot of us, have this whole marriage thing all associated with, well, I didn't feel that way, or I felt this way. Stow it. We're talking about choosing. Love is a matter of choice. Choosing. Emotion comes after that. Now, hear me on this today. A lot of things we're talking about marriage, these are applicable across many other relationships that we have in our lives. Third part of that, we've got to receive our spouse, and they shall be. Therefore shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they, who's the they in this? This is us receiving our spouse, receiving that person that God has given us, receiving them as a gift from God. What do you reckon it was like when God brought Eve to Adam? There you go. I'm sure he had a lot of things to say right there that were never recorded in Scripture. But you can just imagine. You see, he was a... Do you hear Adam in the Scripture hollering out, "Take her back"? Take her back. Of course not. He is receiving her joyfully. Number four, we must believe that we are one. Therefore shall a man leave father and mother, cleave to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Intimacy in marriage is established when a couple sees themselves as one. You hurt, I hurt. You're struggling, I'm struggling. You're happy right now, I'm happy with you. We're there together, where their home becomes a place where it's safe. It's safe to speak your mind. It's safe to have a bad day. You know, I like to describe it in my marriage counseling when I do this premarital stuff. We've heard this stuff, and so many of you know this stuff, but we need the review. You've heard that marriage is a 50-50 proposition. Nowhere does it say that anywhere in Scripture. It's a oneness together of 100% commitment from one person to the other, to that person to the other. It's back and forth so that you cover each other in your commitment to one another. Now, if it's 50-50, what happens if one of them's having a bad day? Dink. And they can only give 40. You got a 10% deficit there. We're to cover one another and under the authority of God in our lives. Now, if we're going to have this kind of relationship, this kind of process of marriage taking place in our life, then we've got to eliminate the love busters of marriage. And here's just a few of them. Brother Dane talked about a few of these things last week. The first, unresolved conflicts. What happens with unresolved conflicts? Do they come back to bite you? When do they usually come back? There you go, brother. Speak the truth. On the way to church. How many? I'm not going. Don't put your hands up. This is a rhetorical question. I do not expect an answer. And do not be stupid enough to put your hand up. Men. But how many times have you had your worst fight on the way to worship? Is that an accident? I want to ask you. Is that accidental? Did it happen? Who has targeted you for destruction? The evil one. He wants that to take place in you. So we've got to eliminate through forgiveness. To go back, everybody's got a past, don't they? And what does Jesus do with our past when we come before Him? There's the word, Teresa. He forgives us. He forgives us. And you know what? He then begins to act like it never happened. What if we did that for one another? Instead of being the Philadelphia attorneys, you know, that we are, I'll save this one when we're having a real good argument. I'll bring this out and I'll make my point. And you win the battle and do what? Lose the war. Can I get a witness on? Don't put your hand up. You know what I'm talking about. You've heard about it happening to other people, right? I know some of y'all think I'm just trying to trick you to get you in trouble here today. I'm not. Unresolved conflicts. And you know what? If we don't resolve them, then they become like these things that you step around. Well, I can't go there. I can't. And you know what that does to your freedom? Right out the window. Got to deal with them. What are they? You know, and, you know, learning to, and we're going to talk about this another time, but learn to fight fair where we can bring conflicts out and deal with them and let them come to resolution under God's guidance. Second thing, another love buster, is lack of meaningful communication. Listen, there can be no intimacy in marriage, and when I use the word intimacy, I use the wide definition. I'm not talking about sexual fulfillment, but that is part of that. I'm talking about all intimacy. You getting to know that other person as you're open to that other person. There can be none of that if there is not meaningful communication in your marriage. Now, what are we talking about? Some of us are more comfortable talking with a perfect stranger about things than we are with our own spouse at times. But we've got to get beyond that, where we can talk honestly with one another and not rip one another apart about this happened and that happened, but in forgiveness, in a spirit of love for one another, realizing that other person again is the person for whom Christ died. To the point where we can not only talk just about conflict, and some couples will get to this point where they can talk about conflicts, but they never move beyond the conflicts. The way you can talk about your hopes and dreams for one another. To the point then that you have safe communication with one another. Now let me give you an illustration about this. God also gives timing to that. Did He give you a crystal ball up here that your spouse can look into and know what you're thinking at any given time? No, He did not. Do you know why He didn't? Because we would be stupid. Because there's some things that we think that you don't need to say, do you? It was in anger or you had this other thought. There's timing. Picking the timing of communicating with one another. And bearing in mind the whole person that you're married to. You know, the day that your husband loses his job is probably not the day that you want to sit down and talk about y'all's lack of communication. Though that would probably come up in the discussion. A third area of love busters, and I'm not going to go into detail on these, but is ignorance of one another's needs. You know, Dane, in detail last week, talked about needs of men, needs of women in a marriage. Top five for men is sexual fulfillment, recreational companionship, an attractive spouse, domestic support, and admiration. Those are just from sociological studies. For women, top five are affection, conversation, honesty and openness, financial support, and family commitment. I know some of you think, well, that doesn't hit me exactly. No, this is an average across the world, but a pretty good average. So, not knowing what the other person needs, where you're living your life with you at the center of it. No! You're one, so you're supposed to be together. A fourth love buster in a marriage is selfishness. Putting your own needs ahead of your spouse's. A fifth is lack of time, where you just fill your life with all kinds of things. Where the guppies, it's not the sharks that are destroying marriages in most cases. It's the guppies that just fill the fishbowl and nibble your time to death. This and this and this and this. And I know you talk about quality time. I like what Dr. Dobson had to say about this. He said, you can't predict when the quality time is going to be. So get some quantity in there and let yourself be guaranteed that there'll be quality that'll come in the midst of that. I say a hearty amen to that. In a relationship. Look at, you got to eliminate the thing. We've got to eliminate the things that get in between us and our spouse. I mean, TV? Where's time spent in front of a TV rank with communication with our spouse? Time spent together. Whatever is robbing you. A sixth thing we see is love buster is dishonesty. No way you can build an atmosphere of trust, of intimacy, if there is dishonesty, where there's lying. Love requires honesty and transparency. Tell the truth to one another. Act in truth. And listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me closely on this one. And do not stand over your spouse ready to punish them when honesty comes forth. Do you hear me? Because some, hey, it's better the lie than to tell the truth about, because look at the consequences. Are you hearing me on this? You see, this goes two ways. And finally, under the love buster, annoying behavior. Now, I believe I believe we could really get some testimonies here today. But we're not. What they say, you're going to have to discuss this one amongst yourself. And annoying behavior is in the eye of the beholder. And I know there are probably some things that you're thinking, how can that be annoying? It is. It just is. And you don't need to have to explain that. You just need to say, it's annoying behavior. I don't want you to do it. Now, this wasn't in regard to a husband-wife relationship, but it does apply to annoying behavior. When I was growing up, I had a ritual every night, late, when I'd get home from whatever we were doing out on a date. I'd put ice cream, particularly chocolate ice cream, in a big old glass, fill it up with ice cream, and then pour milk over it. And get a long spoon. You know where this is headed, don't you, Dad? My mother had, I don't know where she got them, but she had these glasses, I mean a whole set of them. I don't know, it seemed like we must have had 50 of them because we never ran out of them. And they had these little ridges up the side. My dad would be in there watching the news or something, and I'd go get me that big glass of ice cream and milk. And I'd drag that spoon up the side of that glass. Click, 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 click. In a little teaspoon, how many click, 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 clicks do you get to get rid of click, 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 all of it? And I wouldn't be even though I'm over there, you know, just, and my dad, he's just, you know, it's like fingernails on the blackboard. You know. Annoying. And finally he'd say, you got to stop. Okay. Do you get that point? I'm not going to elaborate anymore. Okay. Our third area, we need to fan the flame of love in our marriages. First point, you may need to change the ambience of your life. Hear this verse from Philippians 4:18. And now I have everything and more. I have all I need because Epaphroditus brought your gift to me. It is like a sweet-smelling sacrifice offered to God who accepts that gift and is pleased with it. You see, here Epaphroditus brought this gift to Paul. And it was a sweet-smelling say. It changed the atmosphere. A sports analogy would be like this. We may need a game changer in our marriage. Something to change the atmosphere. To knock us out of the predictable everyday da-dun, da-dun, da-dun. Da-dun, da-dun, da-dun. Da-dun, da-dun, da-dun. I mean, ta-dun, ta-dun, woo! Do you understand me? Change the atmosphere. And that takes work. That takes planning. Secondly, we need to put our spouse's needs before our own. Romans 12:10 says this, be devoted to one another in brotherly love and honor one another above yourself. When Ephesians 5 talks about relationship of a husband and wife, you remember what it says about what a man should do for that woman that he's married to? It says, be willing to lay his life down for her like Christ laid his life down for the church. And for the woman, for her to respect her husband and submit to her husband by faith. You see, that's putting that other person before yourself. Number three, need to build intimacy through communication. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, as we lovingly speak the truth, another translation says, speak the truth in love, we'll grow up completely in our relationship with Christ, who is the head. You see, communication isn't just the passing of information. It's the sharing of life, our hopes, our dreams, our ambition, our challenges, our failures. Be able to know that you come home and you're home. It's safe. It's the safe harbor. You're with one another. It has to be a safe place. Number four, as we spoke of before, accepting your spouse. In Genesis 2:23, Adam says, I like this translation, at last, Adam exclaimed, she's part of my own flesh and blood. She's part of me. You see that oneness? How did God create Eve? Out of Adam. When marriage takes place, do you see the oneness as we come back together? Accept that other person as a true gift from God. And by the way, opposites do attract. We find that out in a lot of ways. A lot of ways we're mirror images of one another's personality. Some of you know Audrey and I very well, and you know that we are the absolute opposites of one another in everything. Viva la difference. Number five, you need to bless your spouse unconditionally. 1 Peter 3:9 said, do not repay evil for evil, insult for insult, but with blessing. Blessing your spouse every way you can. Instead of spending all this time discovering how you're going to win the next argument, why not spend some time on creative ways to bless that person? Finally, we've got to see sex as a gift from God. Sex is good. Scripture says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. I'm not talking about some Victorian man-made and messed up version of marriage and sexual relationship with one another. I'm talking about the gift that it is that God has given for a husband and a wife, a man and a woman in marriage, not before it, not extra. Man and woman together. That's God's ideal. Sex is different for men and for women. Genesis 1:27 says, God created people in His own image. He patterned them after Himself. Male and female, He created them. You know, women are superior to men, and I pause, when it comes to being a woman. Men are superior to women when it comes to being a man. Guess what? Men and women are different. Radical concept. Just think, wrap your mind around this for just a moment. Just think, in our society, how much discussion, grief, angst would be settled, just click, overnight, if people just said that and believed it. Men and women are different. Bingo! There you have it. There you have it. Sex is godly. Genesis 1:28 said, And God blessed them and told them, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. 1 Corinthians 7:3 says, the husband should not deprive his wife of sexual intimacy, which is her right as a married woman, nor should the wife deprive her husband. Hear me. Sex is not a tool of manipulation, reward, or punishment. It's a gift from God. Spouses are commanded not to withhold themselves from one another. The Scripture says they are one. They are one in God's eyes. I'm just reading the Bible to you. I'm reading the Bible to you. Sex involves the whole person, finally. It touches the body, read Song of Solomon. It touches the soul, read the Song of Solomon. It touches the spirit, hear 1 Corinthians 6:16 and 17. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two shall become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. You see, the command there, he's not promoting having sexual union with a prostitute. He's using that as an illustration. That there is a oneness with us, the whole person, body, soul, and spirit. Gotten very quiet in here. So let's take inventory. Has God spoken to you today? Did He? I know some of you young people have been listening to some of this, and I hope you'll hear everything that was said here today, because this is the real stuff. I'm telling you this because I've just read you the Scripture today, but I'm also saying as a lifetime of seeing all of this, all of these truths acted out. What has God spoken to you today? What are you going to do about it? He's spoken a message to you today? Well, we're going to open the altar today. And yes, it's not our style to try to whip it up. You know, emotion, all that stuff, that's not our deal. Our style here is presenting the truth, giving people an opportunity to respond to the truth. So the altar's open today. If you want to come and pray today, I want you to know today, if you've never received Jesus Christ in your life, He is Lord and Savior. He died in your place on the cross. He arose on the third day. He's coming back again to get all of those who have received Him in faith and trust. And do you have Him in your life? And is He at the center of your oneness in your marriage? The only way you can be one with one another is to be one in Him. Let's pray. We'll open the altar. Lord, I thank You for hearing our prayers today. Prayers I've been praying, Lord, about this message today. Lord, all around us, marriages are faltering. People are suffering from the wounds of past marriages. And they're tough times right now. And we need You. And we need Your power. We need You to come. And we're asking You to do that right now, Lord Jesus. Come to us. Come in us right now. As we open the altar, Lord, we're asking You to touch our hearts as we. Some of us will pray right where we sit. Others will come at the altar. Others will come and pray with our pastors, our life group leaders who are spread out here today. Lord, we just ask You to come. The altar's open. As we continue to pray, if you would look this way for just a moment. It would be very easy, many of us, to look at, and when we hear God's truth in our lives, to begin to beat ourselves up. I want you to know that's not what God does. He loves us enough to tell us the truth and to give us the next step. The only step that you're responsible for today is taking the next one in faith. What has God shown you to do? What's the next step? And to do that one. And let the Holy Spirit bring the rest of this to you. There was a time in my life when I let guilt control a lot of things. The way I saw myself, the way I saw a lot of things in life. God's speaking to you. What is He saying to you? And what's the next step He wants you to take? He loves you. He wants the best for you. Let's pray for one another right now before we go. But before we have that prayer, someone slipped in the back. Mr. Ducharme, Tim Ducharme, would you stand up, please? We're proud of you serving our country. Tim, you want to say something, son?
I just got back today. It was a long one. But
are you glad to be home?
I am glad to be home.
Is anybody else here glad that you're home?
I think so.
I think so. Yeah. Too. There was a brightness coming from the back here.
Yep. I'm glad to be with all you guys, and definitely. You know, Cy and Soup Science are at it. I would appreciate if you all could pray over me, and you know that the reception and everything goes well. And you know, I can leave a lot of work behind me and just be home and be with family and stuff.
Well, let's pray right now. Lord, we love this man, and I thank you for answering our prayers for him. You have watched over him. You have been his guardian at his back and in front of him and all around. And I thank you for that. Thank you for getting him back home. And I pray that, Lord, you'll make these days that he has to be at home, wonderful for he and his family. May your blessing be upon them. Lord, I pray your protection from the evil one and all that other junk. May this be a great time for this family. We bless you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and we'll have one more prayer together. All right? Just stand where you are. Lord, we're asking you now that the things we've seen and heard and experienced today, Lord, we're praying against the evil one that he would not come and take away, to pluck away the truth from our hearts. But Lord, that you would continue to work this message into our hearts and into our lives and into our marriages. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.